my children. I have come for you, to hold you close, to hold you tight, to make everything about you right. I'm showering you with my light, for I've taken you from the darkness, from the night, and I've brought you close to me, for that is where I want to be. Take my hand, I will lead the way. Listen to my words so that you can do what I say, for I'm here for you. Never leave you nor forsake you, but I will be with you. Amen. God, well, you're in the right place tonight. Amen. And the Lord put something on my heart about catching the Christmas spirit. And I went through the Christmas story. And there are elements in that story that reflect the spirit of Christmas. Amen? The spirit of Christmas is about God's spirit. And the spirit of Christmas is the attitude of heaven on earth. You know, the Christmas story, there was a lot of heavenly activity that came to earth. I mean, it was the greatest invasion from heaven to earth because the King came. Amen? God came as a man. Jesus was born. And so we're going to talk about that. The spirit of Christmas, it's the work of the Holy Spirit in people surrounding the birth of Jesus. Christ our Savior. It is the attitude of heaven on earth. The spirit of Christmas permeated throughout the people involved in the Christmas story. I'm going to give you the points that I have, and then we're going to talk about them, okay? All right? That way you can kind of hook up with me. Because we're not going to get them all tonight, but we're going to cover them. And then Christmas, up until Christmas, our candlelight service, which will be December 23rd. So number one, the spirit of Christmas consists of angelic visitations and divine messages. All right? The second thing that the spirit of Christmas consists of, it consists of declaring the name of Jesus. You shall call his name Jesus. All right? The third thing that the spirit of Christmas consists of, there are prophetic utterances and sayings. Things were fulfilled that prophets had spoken years before. The fourth thing that the spirit of Christmas consists of is knowing Christ as King. Amen? He was given the throne of his forefather David. The fifth thing that the spirit of Christmas consists of is worshiping the Lord. There were people who traveled thousands of miles just to worship. They made worship a priority. Number six, the spirit of Christmas consists of exceeding joy, great joy, and gladness. There's no room for sorrow at this time. The seventh thing that the spirit of Christmas consists of was giving gifts. Right? The worshipers gave gifts. They gave gifts to him. The eighth thing, I feel like the 12 days of Christmas, but I got 14 points. The eighth thing were dreams and visions. God spoke and warned people through dreams and visions. Number nine, it talks about the Son of God and turning to God. There was a turning. Listen, there's no greater time to turn to God than right now. Amen? God wants to use you to help people to turn to Him. Turn your holiday festivities into an eternal feast. Number 10, the spirit of Christmas consists of the Holy Spirit. He was working in a lot of people. The 11th thing that the spirit of Christmas consists of, faith and believing. And people had to believe what God was doing. Right? Zechariah didn't believe and his mouth was shut. Number 12, the spirit of Christmas consists of salvation. A Savior was born. The Savior, the only Savior, the way to the Father. The spirit of Christmas consists of the birth of Jesus. It's His birthday. And then finally, the spirit of Christmas consists of evangelism, telling others what happened. Telling others the story. How has His story changed your story? How many stories have been changed by His story? Right? So He wants you to tell your story. Tell how His story changed your story. This was my story, but this is my story now. So you ready to talk about these things? I'm going to give you an outline of this. It's first time in a long time on a Wednesday night. I'm going to give you an outline of all the scriptures and all these things, all right? All right, let's talk about this. Go with me to Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Matthew 1, verse 20. And Joseph had just gotten some news. His fiance was going to have a baby, and he wasn't involved. And, naturally he said, I'm going to get out of this. All right? But verse 20, while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. He must have been thinking on his bed. Because now he's dreaming. But the dream is very real, very important. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take... Listen, the first thing that God's going to do when He appears to you is He's going to take care of the fear. Because fear makes you crazy. He said, fear not to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son. You shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had been. You know, Joseph didn't think it weird that an angel was talking to him in a dream. How many know there are angels at work right now? Now, we can't see them, and if you see them, that's great and wonderful. God's allowing you to see into the spirit realm, and that's possible. I've never seen an angel, but I know that they're there. They're like Scotch tape. You can't see it, but you know they're there. Right? So I just want to touch on angels just for a little bit. I'm not going to go into depth about this. In Matthew 2:13 and verse 19, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and warned him, told him to take some action. Luke 1:10 through 20, the angel of Gabriel appeared to Zechariah. He also appeared to Mary. Luke 2, verses 9 through 15, angels appeared to shepherds in the field. So angels are appearing to Joseph, to Mary, to shepherds. There was a lot of angelic activity going on. Messengers from heaven Okay? Now, when the Bible uses the term the angel of the Lord, it often referred to the Lord himself before he was Jesus. Okay? Many appearances of the angel, it depends in the context whether or not he receives worship. If he receives worship, that's Jesus. If he doesn't receive worship, it's just another angel. Because angels do not receive worship. Remember in Revelation, they tried to worship the angel. He said, don't worship me, I'm a servant with you. Right? So, let's talk about some angelic appearances. Oh, by the way, we're going to have an angel tomorrow in release time. You know what? I want you to pray for release time. I believe some kids are going to get saved tomorrow. They're going to make a choice to accept Jesus. I believe that. All right. In Genesis 18, verse 2, two angels appeared with God to Abraham. God and two other people showed up. Abraham fed him. He was talking to him about Sodom. And the two angels with God went ahead into Sodom. All right? 2 Samuel 24, 15 through 17, there was a destroying angel that killed 70,000 people. Whoa. Don't get on the angel's bad side. Right? In 1 Kings 8, 19, verses 5 through 9, an angel fed Elijah some angel food cake. That must have been good cake because it lasted for 40 days. He didn't have to eat another thing for 40 days. There was enough energy and sustenance in that angel food cake that he ate. It said it sustained him for 40 days. He went in that for 40 days. Can't wait to heaven. Can you imagine? They said Wheaties are the breakfast of champions. It's angel food cake. In Daniel 4:13, I know I'm giving you scriptures quick, but it describes a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. An angel appeared to Daniel. Okay? Angels appeared to those who showed up at Jesus' tomb. They were hanging out. They said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? You know, if you want to look for life, you've got to look for something that's alive. Not dead, right? Okay, here's what I really want to get to. I mean, we know that the Bible describes angels appearing to people from Genesis to Revelation. Okay? Angels are real. What's the purpose of angels? Okay, this is the meat of this point. In Genesis 28:12, Jacob had a vision of a ladder, and he saw angels ascending and descending on this ladder. Okay? So angels continually are going from heaven to earth, and it can be frequently and as necessary. Now, that must be a pretty cool ladder because they show up rather quickly. It's not like they got to climb this ladder. It's just that's how Jacob saw this vision. Okay? But the point is, there's activity. Angels are coming from heaven to earth. They're like this. You know, they're going up and down. They're taking care of business. Okay? They're delivering messages, showing revelation, giving insight, giving direction. In Exodus 23, verse 20, it says that angels will keep you, which means they will guard you. They'll keep you in the way and bring you into the place that God has for you. Angels can be guides. All right? Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. So, angels will guard you, they'll keep you, and they'll make sure that they'll help you get to your destination, the place that God prepared. Okay? Psalm 34:7, this is powerful. What are we doing? We're catching the spirit of Christmas. Angels were operating and manifesting and speaking and delivering messages. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who that fear him and what? Deliver them. All the accidents that were supposed to take us out and didn't, an angel was working to deliver us. Now notice who they camp around. They like to hang out with people who fear God, who respect and reverence and honor God. That's who angels like to hang out with. Okay? Isn't that what the Bible says? And the purpose is they want to deliver you. Okay? The Young's literal translation says this: a messenger of Jehovah is encamping round about those who fear him. He armeth them. Woo! You got a crew. You got an invisible crew hanging out with you to deliver you and to bring you where you're supposed to be. All right? Now, this is a popular one, Psalm 91, verse 11. Psalm 91, verse 11. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in what? All your ways. Your angels are not to help you get your own way. They're to help you keep you on your way. The way that Jesus is the way, right? Okay? The Amplified says, he will give his angels special charge over you to accompany, defend, and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. Ooh. They will protect, defend, and preserve. As long as you're obedient and you're serving, you've got angelic help. All right? The New Living Translation says he orders his angels to protect you wherever you go. Everybody say wherever. That means if I go to Guyana, you got angels. They don't have to buy a plane ticket. They can fly. They don't get charged for extra baggage. You know, two angels, that'll be $50 a piece. No? All right? Luke 16, verse 22. Luke 16, verse 22. What do we do? We're catching the spirit of Christmas. Spirit of Christmas had a lot of angels working. Angels were working things. Luke 16, 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. No, he was buried, not carried. All right? So angels carried Lazarus into Abraham's bosom. What's Abraham's bosom? That was the place where saints went to before Jesus was born again. Before Jesus rose from the dead. See, Jesus had to be the firstborn, right? So everybody that was saved before Jesus came, if they died, they went to Abraham's bosom. And when Jesus died, he went down, he preached to them, and he said, come on, I'm taking you to your final place, right? He led captivity captive, and he took them. It could be known as paradise, all right? So, but the angels carried them. And then Matthew 18:10. Are you having fun? Are you catching something tonight? Not a cold. You're catching the spirit of Christmas. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. God assigns angels to his children. We don't know how many angels there are. I mean, we have 2/3. The devil has 1/3. Ha, ha, ha. We got more than you. In Daniel 3:28, God sent his angel to deliver the three boys that were thrown into the furnace. It was actually Jesus himself, but they called him the angel of the Lord. It was an angel that shut the lion's mouth when Daniel was thrown in. In Mark 1:13, angels ministered to Jesus after he was tempted. They refreshed him. They strengthened him. I mean, you go through 40 days of temptation. You're frazzled. You're wore out. But here comes an angel with some angel food cake. Right? He was in that wilderness for 40 days. But that ministry took place fast. Listen, angels can whip up something really good real quick. All right? Hebrews 1:14. Go to Hebrews 1:14. Hebrews 1:14 tells us the main purpose of angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? A minister is a servant. Angels are designed to serve you. To help you. You're an heir of salvation, aren't you? Are you a joint heir with Jesus? Do you have an inheritance? Amen. Has your name been written in the book? God put you in his will. Was there a death? His will is effective. That means our inheritance comes to us now. Okay? All right. So, they're spirits for ministration. The Young's literal translation says, being set apart, being set forth for those about to inherit salvation. All right? The second thing that the spirit of Christmas consists of was declaring the name of Jesus. Go to Matthew 1:21. Matthew, you know, there's something about declaring the name of Jesus. Try it. Go into a public place and just say, Jesus, and see what happens. There's something about his name, Jesus. Matthew 1:21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall... Who's he talking to? He's talking to Joseph. He said, you shall call his name Jesus. His name is Joshua. What does his name mean? Savior. Is there anything that needs saving that you know? Well, then declare the name of Jesus. Speak that name. Use that name. Declare the name of Jesus. It means Savior. For he will save his people from their sins. The angel told Mary, he said, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. The angel told Mary to call Jesus. Call means to verbalize. It means to declare. Luke 1:41. Why should we call his name? Well, his name is holy. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, that's not the right one. Verse 49. For he that is mighty has done great to me great things, and holy is his name. When you use the name of Jesus, it's the most holy name. It's the greatest. And you can use it. You can use his name. Go to Romans chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. Romans 10, 12 through 13. I'm turning there. All right. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that what? Call upon him. How many have Jesus on speed dial? You don't need them on speed dial. All you know is J-E-S-U-S. Isn't it awesome how God made it so simple? We don't have to jump through hoops. We don't have to do somersaults. When we need, all we have to do is call His name. And what? That brings power. That brings salvation. That brings healing. That brings deliverance. That sends demons trembling. I mean, when you use that name, the devil says, "Where did he get a hold of that name?" You know, you mess the devils up with that name. All right, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name," what's going to happen? "They shall be saved." You mean it's that simple? All I got to do is call upon the name? Yep, that's it. He told Joseph, call his name Jesus. He told Mary, call his name. He's telling us, call his name Jesus. Call him. Bring his presence to you. Psalm 86, verse 5. Psalm 86 and 5. "For thou, O Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon you." If you need mercy, what do? Call him. He will not put you on hold. Your call will not be dropped. He has the best service universal. And he doesn't even charge you for it. You can call on his name when you're in the dark place. You can call on his name when you're in prison. You can call on his name when you're afflicted. You can call on his name when you're in the belly of a great fish. Did not Jonah call upon the Lord in that place? And did not the Lord hear? There's nowhere that you could go on this planet that God would not hear you call him. You don't even need a phone. All you need is a voice. Voice activated. Deliverance. "Oh, yes. Could you send a deliverance to 695 East Ridge Road, Palmyra, please?" Well, in Jesus' name, on the way. Voice activated. You don't have to turn there, but Psalm 145:18, "The Lord is near to all who call upon him." When you call his name, you get his attention. Isn't that what Bartimaeus did? "Jesus, have mercy on me." "Jesus!" What happened? He got his attention, didn't he? His call got Jesus' attention. And guess what? When you get Jesus' attention, you get his miracle. You get his healing. You get his power. And then number three, the third thing that the spirit of Christmas consisted of was prophetic utterances and sayings. These prophets declared things that were years before. And God took what that prophet said way down here and he brought it to pass here. There's no expiration date on God's word. When God's word is declared in the earth, it will be accomplished. And since God doesn't wear a watch because he's eternal, right? There's no expiration date as far as God is concerned. The words that go out of my mouth, he said, will not return unto me void, but they will accomplish what I set them to do. Now, we may think, hey, it took 25 years, but we're not operating on that plane that God is. He's eternal. He knows the end before the beginning. All right? So, Matthew 1:22, it talks about that these things were fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. Everybody say, thank God for prophets. Even in a non-profit organization, prophets are welcome. We need a prophetic voice. We need prophetic unction. We need men and women. God needs a man or a woman to speak His word forth with conviction. He needs people that will actually believe what they're saying. Elijah said to King Ahab, "It's not going to rain except at my word." Who do you think you are, Elijah? I think I'm a prophet, and I think I'm speaking God's word according to Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11 says if you disobey God, He will shut up the windows of heaven and cause it not to rain. But a prophet declared that in the earth. Did you know that James tells us that Elijah is just like you and I? He's a like man, just like you and I. But yet, he declared the word of God, and the word of God stood strong. What he said happened, right? It stopped raining at his word, and it started raining at his word. That's powerful. Say, my speech can affect my life greatly. You know, I was thinking about this. This is a little side note. But, you know, we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight, right? So, I was thinking about walking by faith. Okay, let's say I'm believing God for something. All right? I have to ask myself, what am I thinking about that? What am I saying about that? And what am I doing about that? Did you know that your thinking, your saying, and your doing affect your faith? Why does the Bible in Ephesians say, let no corrupt communication come out of where? Why does the Bible tell us not to let corrupt communication? Why? Because corrupt communication corrupts. If we're speaking corruptly, we can corrupt the promise. We can abort the promise. That's why Zechariah, when the angel said, you're going to have a son, he did not believe. And what did God do? Shut his mouth. Why doesn't God shut all of our mouths? Because that was an exception. God needed John to be born. And he didn't need an unbelieving speaking priest to interfere with it. Come on. Elizabeth believed. Because she was going to be the one carrying it. But Zechariah didn't. It took him 9 months to get on board. His mouth wasn't open until he believed. And once he believed what God said, then he was able to speak. Anyway, that was just a side note. I won't charge you anything extra for that. It's included. I'm in rare form tonight, I tell you. So, you know, everything that occurred with Jesus' birth was a fulfillment of prophecy. It was spoken by men of God long before it occurred. Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And let's go with verse 70. Luke chapter 1 and verse 70. And it says here, this is actually Zechariah speaking, and he said, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Did you know that we are founded on the apostles and prophets? Did you know that loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself fulfills the law and the prophets? Just a little side note. All right, verse 70, and he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies. Did you know that God wants you saved from your enemies? Okay? From the hand of all that hate us. Did people hate Jesus? Was he delivered from the haters? Yes. Did they take his life? No, he gave it down. He laid his life down. Okay? All right, verse 72, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and remember his holy covenant. This all has to do with prophecy. The oath which he swore to our father Abraham that he would grant unto us that we... Did you know that he's speaking what the prophet spoke so that it can happen? If you get a prophecy over yourself, speak it over yourself. You want it to take place? Talk it. Embrace it. That's how you activate prophecy for you. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, verse 73, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, verse 74, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. God wants people who will serve him without fear. You don't have to have fear as a child of God. If you don't believe me, read Pastor Fiona's book. In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Did you know that right? If you have accepted Jesus Christ, you are holy and righteous before him right now. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And John was called the prophet of the highest. Verse 76. For you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. A prophet simply gets you ready for what's about to take place. Some of you need to get ready quicker. So the prophet is more stern. Amen? Sometimes the prophet is not so stern and you got some time. But then when the prophet's stern, you better take action right now. All right? Go gather. The woman had a financial need. Her kids were about to go into slavery. What did the prophet say? Go gather empty pots as much as you can. That's not time to sit down and say, oh, I think I'll go tomorrow and get some empty pots. No. There was an urgency about it. You got to recognize the urgency of a prophetic word. It's not always urgent, but when it's urgent, you better take action quickly. And so she gathered pots, and what happened? She got enough oil to pay off her debt and to live on the rest. That came from a prophetic word. Did you know when Jesus, he prophesied healing to people? He would tell a lame man, pick up your mat and walk. And what happened? That lame man would pick up his mat and walk. You know, I realize you can speak to dead bones. Can these bones live? You know, Lord. Well, speak to them. You want me to speak to bones? Yeah, go ahead and speak to them. What shall I say? Arise, bones. Prophesy to the wind. The whole birth of Christ was a fulfillment. There was a lot of prophecy being fulfilled. The place where Jesus was born, going to be born of a virgin, you know, the wise men were looking at the prophecies to locate him. The prophecies were bringing people together that needed to be there. All right? All right? Then finally, we're going to finish tonight knowing Jesus is King. Matthew 2:2. Matthew 2, verse 2. It says, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star. Woo, kings have stars. In the east, at its rising, and have come to worship him. Write this verse down, Psalm 45, 1. It says, my heart overflows with a goodly theme. I address my psalm to a king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. In other words, you're waiting for the king to speak to you before you speak. Too many times we speak without getting the king's input. Luke 1, verses 32 and 33. It talks about Jesus. He said, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his forefather David. Kings sit on thrones, don't they? He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. If Jesus is king, that means whatever he says goes. All right? You don't argue with the king. What the king says is law. Why? He's the king. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. When Jesus was riding and they were laying the palm branches, they were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna. Nathanael in John 1:49 said, Teacher, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. What does it mean to recognize Jesus as King? It means that he has authority in your life. He can change anything to his will that he needs to be. There are things that need to change in our life. The king can change it just by speaking. So when we recognize that Jesus is king, okay, that means he reigns. That means he rules. That means, you know, we need to go to him and then go to 1 Timothy 6, and then I'm going to close. 1 Timothy 6. This is powerful. I mean, a king was born. People came to worship the king. They gave the king kingly gifts. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. You ready to shout? Well, okay, I'm going to start with verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. You to fight. What does he want you to fight? What's a good fight? People who lose fights say, "Ooh, that was a good fight," you know. But I'm battered and bruised. I'm beat up. It wasn't a good fight for me. If you're battered and bruised and beat up, a good fight is when you win. How many know when you fight faith, you can win all the time. Faith doesn't lose. Lay hold on eternal life. You got a good grip on eternal life? Lay hold on it. That means get a good grip of it. Don't let it go. Don't let it slip through your hands. This is too precious. For whereunto you are also called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses, I give you charge. Kings give charges. In the sight of God who quickens all things. Before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. How long are you supposed to keep this? Until Jesus comes. Right? Verse 15, which in times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only has immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. We are the kings that he is king of. We have a king. And kings can change things. Kings rule. Let the king rule your life. Let the king direct your path. Let the king resolve disputes. Let the king reveal to you what he's created you for. He is the king. He was born king of the Jews. So if you want to catch this spirit of Christmas, there's a lot of activity. Let heaven invade your heart tonight. I mean, why don't you, if you can, stand up. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, everybody, Mary, Elizabeth, Zechariah, Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men, they were greatly impacted by the activity of heaven in their lives. Heaven is still working. Heaven is still moving. Angels are still operating. Amen? So if you would like prayer for anything tonight, I want you to come up right now. We're going to pray for Ginger. She can stay in her seat. You know what the King says to you tonight? You can just face your seat there. The King says, you're healed. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, for healing to invade her present circumstance right now and turn things around, change them with your favor and your goodness in Jesus' name. I declare unto you that you are whole. Nothing missing, nothing broken. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. Something's going to happen when heaven invades earth. Ooh. In Jesus' name, I release the power from heaven right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide. Yes. You wondered if you can handle it. Yes, you can. You're God's daughter. You were designed. You're a divine carrier of His presence. In Jesus' name, I release the power from heaven right now.
Whom shall I fear?
In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you right now for releasing the power, the life from heaven. Whom the Son, if you have the Son, then you have life. And everything lives, every organ lives. In Jesus' name.